A number of years ago, I had the privilege of visiting what was then called Leningrad, St. Petersburg now, went back to the original name. We were there right in the grip of the Soviet regime that controlled Leningrad, and we had a guide that was one of the folks in our group had paid for us to have a tour of Leningrad while we were there. And this young man was very sharp, college trained, and well-versed in communism and that whole system. And as we were talking about America, in fact, he was asking us a lot of questions about America, he was trying to figure out what life was like in a democracy, republic like we have, and he could tell he couldn't even begin to comprehend it. At that point, Leningrad was, which was once a beautiful city, had been even the capital of Russia, was in shambles, and a tragic sight was everywhere when we were visiting at that time. But he was just oblivious to the blessings that we have enjoyed under the freedom that we have here in America. Well, you know, a lot of believers are like that. It's wonderful what we have in Christ. We've been looking at that from Colossians chapter 3. We have new life in Christ. We are a new man. We have risen with him. And therefore, we're fully identified with Christ and all that he has done. We have the privilege of representing him. And we're authorized by Christ to serve the Lord. It's just a marvelous thing to think that we sinners saved by grace are identified with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those truths have been given to us in a practical way here in chapter 3 as to how we can have victory over the flesh, how we can have victory over inner sins, and then other aspects have been given to us. And now we're going to turn the corner into several verses that deal with our relationships at home. Did you know that your Christianity can change your home? In fact, it absolutely should. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. John Henry Jowett, in his book, Thirsting for the Springs, wrote, "Anyone can build an altar. It requires a God to provide a flame. Anyone can build a house. We need the Lord for the creation of a home." And we're going to look at the glorious reality of what we have in Christ and how that is translated into our relationships at home. However, many times home is where Christianity, Bible living is seen the least. Winston Churchill and Lady Astor both served in the British Parliament, but they could not stand each other. Winston Churchill couldn't stand Lady Astor, and she couldn't stand Winston Churchill. One day, Lady Astor went up to Winston Churchill and said, "If I were your wife, I'd put arsenic in your tea." Lovely lady. Winston Churchill said, "And if I were your husband, I'd drink it." Unfortunately, I'm afraid too many husbands may feel a little bit like that because of the problems. And so, ladies, we're going to pick on you in a few moments because the Bible doesn't pick on you but gives you some very direct admonition. But don't worry, we get to the men next. Let me just talk, though, a little bit about some background here. We need to realize that we are all under God's authority. We need to be in submission to him. And that God has arranged life according to his perfect creation. And after we have had sin come into the world, he then established government and other institutions to bring order and protection to the human race because of our sinful nature. And so authority and being under authority is just part of the whole structure that God has made. And we need to realize that when God gives us roles, these are for our good. And when you look at marriage over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 begins that section, tying it to being filled with the Spirit, and we are to be submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Husbands need to be in submission to their role. Wives need to be in submission to their role. Children likewise, and so on. And so it's very important that we understand we're simply assuming the rank and role that God has given to us. And God in His perfect wisdom knows exactly how we can best function. The problem we have is this thing called the flesh. The flesh wants our way. The flesh wants to do things in a way that satisfies our selfish desires. And so when it comes to having any kind of relationship that will honor God or any kind of structure that is God's plan, it will always contradict our natural desires. So we need to put ourselves in the place that God wants us to be. I would like to read on this from Moo, a wonderful commentator. He says, on the other hand, Paul turns his attention from the spiritual family to the physical family. He addresses the household members in terms of their particular roles within that entity. Wives are to submit to their husbands, and husbands are to love their wives. Children are to obey their parents, and fathers are not to embitter their children. Slaves are to obey their masters, and masters are to treat their slaves equitably and fairly. Very straightforward section. But I want you to remember that this is all about the fact that we are risen with Christ. Our life is hid with Christ. This is about having His power. This is where freedom comes. This is where vibrant living, revival living, that abundant life occurs. And so it's been said, the ever-living Christ is here to bless you. The nearer you keep to Him, the nearer you will be to one another. And so it's all about being in full relationship with Christ. So let's look at the verse here, Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Just a very short verse and to the point. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Well, let's look, first of all, simply at the nature of this command. It's not given, as I've already alluded to, because of God stressing some inequity. There is no inequity between men and women. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. A few messages back, we looked at the different people groups of that era and how some were looked down upon more than others, and strong admonition that we are all one in Christ. That's the beauty of the church, how that we all come and we are equal as we are in our relationship with Christ. There's no classifications of Christians. We have exactly the same salvation. We have the same standing, the same divine nature, the Spirit of God in us, and the new man and resources, the same divine promises and inheritance. And so God has ordained authority because of wanting to accomplish what is best for us and to accomplish His purpose. Remember, God's plan is based upon the wisdom of the one who created the heavens and the earth. Often is given as an illustration, if you have a complicated machine, you better look at the instructions or you could really mess things up. And talk about complicated. And I'm not talking about wives. I'm talking about humankind, okay? Men and women, complicated we are. And we need to read the manual. And we have a complete manual. And this is part of the manual that we are looking at today. And this is given for all wives. There's no exceptions here. You know, it's very easy for us to think, well, my situation is a little bit different. Well, this is a very clear command. Ephesians 5:22 starts the section about wives the same way. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, keeping your place here in Colossians chapter 3, if you can keep both of those here for a moment. I'm going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to go back to this in a few minutes, a very important passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the lifestyle of the wives. So this is for all wives. Anders says, wives are to submit to their husbands. Submit is a call to recognize and respond to the God-ordained authority of the husband. Submission does not diminish the equality or destroy the dignity of the wife. Christ himself is the model for equality with God and submission to the one with whom he is. To function properly, any institution must have clear lines of authority and submission. And so again, this is emphasized that this is God's perfect plan that came out of creation. It has been overcome hindered because of the fall, but because of the indwelling Spirit of God and the grace of God in us, we can have wonderful victory. So, ladies, this matter of being in submission is in any situation. It's not qualified. There is no if. There is no condition here. It's regardless of social standing, education, intelligence, spiritual maturity, or giftedness, your age, experience, or any other consideration. It simply says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, this is countercultural, and it is something that the world cannot understand because they can only see it as somebody lording over somebody else. They don't understand that a husband and wife are one in Christ. They don't understand that we have mutual purpose. They don't understand the Holy Spirit bonds us into unity. They don't understand what is divine love and victory over self-centeredness and the beauty that there is in this relationship. And so it's very important. It's to any situation you may be in, any husband. It's not, and I'm going to go ahead and read this. It's not qualified by her husband's intelligence, character, attitude, spiritual condition, or any other consideration. Some husbands are, well, let me say this. All husbands can be difficult, okay? So ladies, understand. You say, I must be the only one. No, we could have quite a session here where you, well, we won't do that, but of talking about the issues that you face. And it is very clearly that is the attitude of, in fact, it has the idea of from within to submit, because this is God's plan and this is how God can work, and a willingness to trust God's authority through the husband. And again, there's a very easy, it's very easy to say, but my situation. Let me just say, ladies, if your husband makes you do something that is clearly not biblical, well, that's one thing. But even there, I would get counsel. Be very careful because our flesh is very quick to rebel. Same thing for men in the different situations they're in. And they rebel against taking care of their wives, which is their role, and which puts this thing into a beautiful union. But it is important to understand that all authorities that are God-given are ultimately to God. We are yielding to God himself. And I want to remind you that the head of Christ is the Father. He is in submission to the Father. Are they equal? But that's how the Trinity is ordered. I don't understand it all, but God gives us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as a picture of the submission of each of us to the roles that God has given to us. Now, I like this, to your own husband. It shows mutual intimacy and possession. She has her own husband, and it is supposed to be a cleaving one to another, two become one, and they belong to each other in absolute equality. He has no superiority here, and she has no inferiority. And so this is just a wonderful oneness together, but this is the order that God has given. And then, given because of mankind's depravity. I've already alluded to this also. These roles were functional because of the problem of sin. There was order even in the garden prior to the fall. Adam had been given by God dominion over all of the creation. And so God had given him and delegated to him authority. And then the wife, Eve, was made out of him. And we read in 1 Timothy 2:13, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And so there was a way that God perfectly wanted Adam and Eve to function in their overseership, really, of the world at that time. And that was how it was supposed to work even back then. Let me just give an illustration. Every Christian has a spiritual gift. And that's a wonderful thing to teach. Now, let me say, does one gift make a person more superior than someone who has a different gift? They're all equal. Boy, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 makes that clear. We've been sitting on that for a while, and we'll be seeing that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And chapter 13 is all about this matter of love and the fact that there is no superior gift. They are given to us totally by the wisdom of the Spirit of God to accomplish His work within the church, so the church can be what it ought to be for Christ. And so this is the way it functions. However, the beautiful order was really thrown out of whack because we became extremely selfish at the fall. Instead of living for one another, instead of following God's plan, we became consumed with ourselves. And the Lord warned about that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, after He dealt with Satan, He said, unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That last sentence there is very interesting. The word desire is a desire to control. A desire to usurp the place of headship. And then the word for rule for a man has the idea of a despotic kind of authoritarianism. That was never God's plan for leadership. He was to represent the love of God, the care of God, the wisdom of God, not to rule in that kind of way. So on both sides of the equation, because of our fallen nature, the tendency for a woman is to want to control. The tendency for a man is to control in the wrong way and not to love, as we'll see in our next message, to love as Christ loved the church. And so we see both of those matters there in Genesis chapter 3. So the purpose of marriage is something that we need to understand. In this day, the purpose of marriage is to enable us to walk with God in an enhanced way, to fellowship with the Lord, just like Adam and Eve did in the cool of the garden, to serve the Lord together, to be able to be strong and to meet one another's needs so that we can accomplish all that God has planned for that union, and then to submit to each other's needs so that we can be effective in the work that God has given us to do. And it's God's beautiful, beautiful plan. And so we have to make the decision, are we willing to be part of that plan? Now let's go to 1 Peter 3 there. I asked you to turn there. And let's just read the first six verses. I don't have time to comment on them much, but I think, ladies, this gives you an expanded perspective on God's view of this matter of the balance of submission. Going back again to verse 1 that we quoted before, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now that expanded passage gives you, ladies, a very in-depth look at the heart of the Lord. He makes it very clear that a right kind of spirit is to Him of great price. You see, ladies have an opportunity, as you willingly give of yourself to the role that God has given to you, you show forth the love of the Savior himself. You show forth all that was accomplished at the cross, and you are now then exhibiting that in your relationship with your husband, in your relationship with your children, and it's a sweet fragrance unto the Lord. Gentle and quiet spirit, it's precious, and it's something that is of extraordinary value to the Lord. And let me just say this. Ladies, in this day in which I believe the female gender has been attacked as hard, if not harder, than the male gender, you have a great opportunity to show forth the reality of our Savior, what it means to be a new creation in Christ. Oh, for a generation of godly women, women that love the Lord, women who are satisfied with Him, women who have allowed God to overcome their selfish nature and their desire to meet their insecurities the wrong way and instead find everything that you're looking for in Him. And to understand and have a vision for your husband if you are married, and to be able to be a support and help to him so that the work of God can go forward. There's nothing more beautiful in all the world than a godly woman. And today, let me just say, in the priorities that a woman chooses, in the fashions that she chooses, in what she does accomplish in her life, it will say much about the Lord, or it'll say much about what is not the Lord. And I could spend a lot of time right now just talking about this. I believe that one of the great needs in America today is, as I mentioned, a group of ladies that love Jesus more than anything else, not worried about what other ladies think of you, not worried about anything that is not appropriate, not watching, viewing, being entertained by that which God is not pleased, but having a chaste and wonderful life that is devoted to your husband or a husband-to-be and are wanting to be a servant of the Lord. And we live in a day in which ladies are attacked in this way. And that is seen as an inferior life. I just want to tell you, anything that God says is not inferior. If you want to find real fulfillment, if you want to find out what life is about, if you want that abundant life that Jesus Christ talked about, you follow the Lord and you will be amazed at the joy that God will give you and that relationship with the Lord and the victory over yourself and getting out of the prison house of that selfish chains that are in our life. This is for men as well. How it's wonderful when we do what God says. And as you read that passage there, that's why I wanted you to see it there in 1 Peter 3, you can see the very heart of the Lord. Well, I've got to move quickly. The importance of the command, as it is fit in the Lord. This is fitting. In other words, the Greek phrase expresses an obligation, a necessary duty. This is how he designed and commands the family to operate. This is more than the original natural order. This is the new Christian order that comes through the power and grace that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So what does it mean? Well, let me just give you some practical things. To support and follow your husband. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What a picture. I think we can understand how we need to be in submission to the Lord. I think we can understand how the church is to be in submission to our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's the example, ladies. But instead, if that gets a little overwhelming, you can just peek ahead to the men. They are to love you as Christ loves the church. So just wait till we get there. All right, that's heavy duty. I can never say that without getting under conviction. That is a massive command from God. So just, command to submit and to have the attitude that Christians should have in responding to the Lord, have that to your husband. It really is to the Lord. That's the whole point. And by you supporting your husband and following him and understanding your role as a helpmeet, you are going to be a great part in encouraging him by just your strengthening of him and causing him to get over his insecurities and feel like he can be a leader. You're going to have a great deal to do with his being the man of God that God wants him to be. I mentioned 1 Corinthians 11:3. Well, let me just read it. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Keep that in mind. Every man is going to have to answer to Christ for you and your family. And the head of the woman is the man. So get under the umbrella of the protection of doing what God says. And the head of Christ is God. He's our example. And so God created Adam to need a helpmeet. And oh, ladies, let me just say, the male species definitely needs help, okay? Every man would be willing to say that. Is that true, gentlemen? Okay, thank you. You came through. All right, and they're being honest here. In fact, they need more help than you know. And God has given strength and ability and discernment to women that is just wonderful. It's powerful. And we're only half here, guys. We need the other half, okay? And so that's why we got to make this thing work. And oh, what God can do, as we often read at weddings, I did it yesterday, Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should dwell alone. And all the bachelors said, no, don't do it. Said, amen. I will make an helpmeet for him. And so that's how God designed it. When the big Milan Cathedral was finished, there were vast throngs of people assembled to witness the dedication. And a little girl was heard to cry out in childish glee as she pointed to the great building. I helped to build that. Watt explained, one of the guards who was standing in a brilliant uniform. Show me what you did. And she said, well, I carried the dinner pail for my father while he worked up yonder. Now, ladies do a million times more than that. But you know, sometimes ladies aren't seen for what they do, but God knows. By the way, in anything we do for the Lord, God knows. And this life is not the only life. There is a judgment seat. There is the acknowledgement of God. And though each lady should have their own ministry and wonderful opportunity, and every lady has great potential to be used of God, the greatest opportunity in her life, her created opportunity, is to be the kind of woman that will enable God to strengthen her husband to be the man of God and to accomplish the work of God that he has laid out for him. And as 1 Corinthians 11:9 says, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And so in doing all this, we need to understand there is a difference between male and female. Now, I'm not getting political when I say this. I'm staying strictly biblical here, okay? But there is a difference. And God's people said, well, that should be stronger. Now, don't worry. It is biblical. Is there a difference between male and female? Yeah, okay. Let's get that right. That's not a small matter. I'm telling you, when you dispute that, you are disputing the great and mighty Creator God. It is an absolute affront to his authority and his rule over this earth. It is rebellion against him. And God's people show forth, and ladies, this is important, God's people show forth their belief in that by how they live in their home. When we show male and female in fulfilling our roles within the home. 1 Peter 3:6 says, likewise ye husbands, 3:7, dwell with them according to knowledge, speaking of the wives, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. The husband must take into consideration that the woman is made differently. And isn't there a lot of controversy over that right now in athletics and everything else? But the weaker vessel's not just speaking of that. Even the vulnerability of having to be the follower and all the different things that God calls a woman to do. The man is to, like Christ takes care of us and meets every need. Husbands should be doing that for their wives. And we need to understand that God did create us with difference. And a wife is, her role is to provide encouragement and understand that there is a difference. I quote often this quote by John Gray, "Men mistakenly expect women to think, communicate, and react the way men do. Women mistakenly expect men to feel, communicate, and respond the way women do. We have forgotten that men and women are supposed to be different. As a result, our relationships are filled with unnecessary friction and conflict." No, God's creation is perfect. And if we can have victory over the self-centered sin in our life, it all goes together greatly. The man is normally more objective, thinks more that way, is physically stronger normally. I've met a few ladies I question that with. But anyway, physically stronger to lead spiritually. There's a discernment that God gives, and women are very discerning spiritually, but there's something about truth that God gives to men, and the ability to take responsibility for leadership of family. All that's built into a man. The woman is more subjective because she's made for relationship, to be a completer, and that is the beauty that comes into a relationship. She sees things and discerns things that men don't even know are happening, and she sees life from a totally different perspective. She does emphasize personal relationships, and she has that unique ability to feel the heart of God. And that's why so often you'll find godly older women who know God and who are a great blessing. And so, ladies, I'm just going to, in the last couple of minutes here, urge you to fulfill your God-given role. Your husband's ego, and that from a human standpoint is awful, but God has put the desire to achieve in your husband. He is to have dominion over the responsibility that he has, and you can crush that very quickly. Through your companionship and support, you can give him courage to lead, to stand, to work hard, to serve the Lord effectively. The last thing you want to do is crush your husband. You need to serve with your husband and serve your husband. Titus 2:4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers in home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So be, if you have children still, be the keeper of his children. Your goal ought to be to rear a godly seed. That is the greatest honor for a man. Oh, believe me, I understand that. I've seen that so much. The keeper of his home, it ought to be a haven from this world. And I'll tell you what, the guard of the home ought to be the wife. Keep the world out of your home. And that means that a lot of technology doesn't need to be used at home. I don't have time to get on it. If I did, we would be here for a while. But you know, ladies, you've got that discernment. The fragrance of heaven, the feminine touch. Just, it's a beautiful thing when the husband wants to go home because this is his haven. Don't be tough, masculine. Be feminine. Be attractive for your husband. By the way, be attractive for your husband, no one else. Now, you can be, obviously, attractive in the right way, just as a good presentation of yourself. But, oh, the world has it flipped. And, how that needs to change. And the keeper of his heart, the heart of her husband to safely trust in her, Proverbs 31:11. Don't belittle him. You can crush him quickly. I've given the illustration. All it takes is saying one little thing to a little boy that's all excited about something, and man, he's just whipped. Well, I hate to tell you, your husband is nothing but a big man with a little boy inside, and you can whap him pretty fast. One day, a woman was trying to get her mule to move, but the mule was stubborn. She went inside the farmhouse, got a bat. She picked up the bat and bang, hit the mule upside the head. Mule fell over, and seeing stars, he jumped back up and started moving. The daughter asked, "Mom, why did you hit the mule over the head with the bat?" Her mother said, "Because you got to do something to get his attention." "All right, I got a bat for you to use on your stubborn old husband. It's spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. respect. It'll knock him over. Promise you. If you show respect and reverence, as God says, and have a submissive attitude, I am telling you that old stubborn mule will start getting with the program. That's not why you do it, okay? But oh, what God will do in his heart. Don't correct in a demeaning manner. Don't question in a discouraging way. And on we could go. Wives, the Bible says here in this passage on the new creation that we are, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. In Ephesians, it's as unto the Lord. And let me just wrap it up this way. What is needed more than anything is for you to walk with God, have your security in the Lord, live with the joy of the Lord, give God your expectations, be willing to do whatever God wants you to do, and to have a home and a relationship that will cause your husband to be able to communicate, to be open, to be able to grow, to be encouraged. And I'm telling you, the power of God will be on that kind of submission. We've had in our home for many years this little poem, "Oh, the comfort, the inexpressible comfort of feeling safe with a person, having neither to weigh thoughts nor measure words, but to pour them all out just as they are, chaff and grain together, knowing that a faithful hand will take and sift them, keep what is worth keeping, and then with a breath of kindness, blow the rest away." And that's what a godly wife does. It's a wonderful thing to have. The heart of the husband truly trusts her. He's one with her. She's for him, even with all of his problems. And that man then is free in his spirit to be the man that God wants him to be. Let's bow for prayer.